Brady, on behalf of the panel and myself, welcome to the Daily Debrief. Sentencing today for the former Chicago police officer who pulled the trigger while on duty and killed a teenager. The charges stemmed from what happened in this dash cam video. It shows Officer Jason Van Dyke shooting and killing Laquan McDonald, a teen who aggressively confronted officers earlier that night and who was carrying a knife. Originally, police said the shooting was justified. A year later, they released this recording. Eventually, prosecutors charged Van Dyke and a jury convicted him of second-degree murder last year. Let's break down the conviction and the judge's options. The jury convicted Van Dyke of second-degree murder, as we said. That carried a possible sentence of probation or a prison term of between 4 and 20 years. The jury also convicted Van Dyke of aggravated battery. That carries a possible sentence of 6 to 30 years. Under Illinois law, the sentences are not supposed to run back-to-back because they all involve the same event. There are live motions and discussions happening in the Van Dyke courtroom as we are discussing. They just wrapped up one witness, and they may be going to a second witness at some point this evening, so we're waiting to see exactly how that's going to roll along. In the meantime, let's listen to some of what the prosecution pointed to. They pointed out the incongruity between the charges and urged the judge to sentence on each and every single count.
At first blush, to somebody who does not necessarily work in the system, when you hear the term second-degree murder, it sounds like a more serious offense. But under the laws of this state, under the sentencing code, under the decisions of both the appellate and the Supreme Court in our state, aggravated battery with a firearm is a more serious offense, and the Illinois Supreme Court has given us direction on how sentences should and must be imposed when there is a verdict on both aggravated battery with firearm and second degree murder. The Illinois Supreme Court reiterated that multiple convictions are proper where the state consistently treats the defendant's acts as separate in the indictment and at the trial. There were 16 separate counts, and we in detail, sometimes painstakingly, and it was uncomfortable to hear some of the detail about the damage and the injury that the gunshot wounds caused to Laquan McDonald. But that theory was put before the grand jury. That theory never changed, and it continued through opening statement, through the presentation of our case, through our closing argument. And that was responded to from the jury, that those allegations were proven beyond a reasonable doubt.
That's some of what the prosecution asked for, but we're going to go back live into this hearing right now because Jason Van Dyke's wife just took the witness stand to argue on his behalf in this sentencing hearing. Let's go in.
Of employment that does offer me benefits for my children, since I no longer have those.
You used to?
I did used to have those, as my husband was a police officer for so many years. That was one of our benefits, was health coverage.
And when did you lose that health coverage?
The day they stripped him from the department. He lost all of his pay. He went into no pay status. When an officer goes into no pay status, they lose all of their health benefits and all of their pay.
Did you go without health insurance?
We did go without insurance. My husband and I both went without insurance for over a year. I did get my children on the All Kids Care Program. If my husband and I had anything to do, we needed to make sure we took care of our children. And we knew that if we got sick, we could handle it. And we made sure our children were taken care of.
Can you describe your relationship with Jason?
My husband is my everything. He is my other half. He's my heart. And my husband is a very kind, gentle man. He would give you the shirt off his back. Thank you. He would give you the shirt off his back. He loves with all of his heart. There is no malice in my husband. There's no hatred. There is no racism to my husband. He's a great human being, a great father, and a wonderful husband. He was also a very great, dedicated police officer to the city of Chicago. They have lost a great officer.
Can you tell the court what life has been like for you since the verdict?
My life has been a nightmare. My life has been turned upside down, inside out. My husband is not with me. I cannot sleep without him in my bed beside me. I cannot have my daily activities. I don't have my husband. My children don't have their father. Life is, it's torture. My heart is broken.
What is your daily life like now?
My daily life, I wake up every morning thanking God I woke up every morning. My first thought is my husband. I think of Jason. It's my first thought. I have to always think of him. And then I get up, I take care of my children like I'm supposed to, like the mother I am. And you go through the day for day. You just think, okay, I'm gonna go to work. I'm gonna take care of my kids. I'm gonna do their activities. I'm gonna come home, still take care of my children, hopefully speak to my husband on the phone for one 20, possible 20 minute phone call once a day, and then go to bed without my husband and do it all over again the next day.
Do the kids get to speak to him on the phone?
They do get to speak to him on the phone. They get a 10 to possibly up to 20 minute phone call. It is very expensive.
How much is it?
Every week I must spend a minimum of $400 to $500 on phone calls for the three of us to speak to him. That is not cheap.
Yeah.
What's it been like for your daughters without Jason there?
As you can see, my little one is not in this room. She's too young to be in the room. She is, both my daughters are very heartbroken. They've had the only person, he was the first person to hold them when they were born. He is their absolute everything. He is their life. And they're torn apart. My children don't sleep. They don't eat. They have nightmares. They don't feel safe in our own home. The place that we have made a castle, that is our sanctuary, is no longer a sanctuary for us. They get bullied in school. They get children who have no idea about life, telling them that their father is a murderer. My oldest gets things written on her desk at school saying 16 shots with her last name on it. My oldest also gets her picture taken in school and passed around so people can corner her and beat her. And I cannot protect her in that school system. My children have paid the price. They've lost their father.
Were you considering private school before this happened?
I was. My oldest is a junior in high school. At the time we were looking at high schools, we did want her to go to Catholic high school. She had gone to Catholic grammar school prior and needed her to go to Catholic high school. Unfortunately, our financial situation did not allow for that. And we could not even allow her to test into the Catholic high schools because of the fact that it was just a letdown for her emotionally. She is in a public high school currently, and my daughter actually is extremely smart. She excels very well in the school that she is in because my husband and I have instilled in her and my youngest, your education is important. Your education is the only thing that matters, and continue with your studies.
What has life been like financially?
Life financially since the entire situation has, since 2014, is tragic. It is not easy by any means. My husband worked 2 to 3 jobs at one time to help support us. so that way I could be the main person to stay at home to take care of our children. I did also work. I had two jobs at the same time, one of which I had to stop doing because of threats on my life, threats to my clients, threats to the location that I worked at. And I personally had to stop doing what I loved to do, as it was a personally owned business. And I stopped that for fear of my safety, for fear of the public. And I lost a large amount of income due to that and only had one job at that time. That job was part-time. It did not afford any health coverage. It was minimum wage. It was enough to help pay some things in the home. My husband went into no pay status. We had a hard time trying to make sure ends were meet. We both agreed the only thing that mattered was to keep our home, our children. We kept the roof over our children's head. So the number one thing was...
Listening to live testimony here on the Daily Debrief from the wife of Jason Van Dyke, the officer convicted of second-degree murder for shooting and killing a teenager named Laquan McDonald. We'll take a quick break and be right back with more live testimony in this sentencing hearing. You're watching the Daily Debrief, folks. We're going to bring you back into live testimony from the wife of Officer Jason Van Dyke. He is the officer convicted of second-degree murder and aggravated battery charges in Chicago for shooting and killing a teen armed with a knife. This has been very compelling testimony. Let's get straight back to it.
My husband is not a murderer. Calling him all these vile things over and over again, repetitively, threats to his life. A sniper threatening to take my husband out. Him having to make sure that myself, my father-in-law, and him have to wear bulletproof vests to come and go from a public courthouse so that way we are safe was very shocking to me. It broke my heart. My husband was more afraid of my life and my father-in-law's life than his life. I was afraid every day coming in and out of this courthouse that somebody would to shoot and kill my husband.
And that was because of threats?
That was because of threats.
Everybody knows that your kids didn't attend the trial, but they're here today.
My kids did not attend the trial because my husband and I were still protecting them. We were still keeping them private. They are still children. They go to school every day. We needed to make sure that they were taken care of and not in the limelight. Media is not a good thing. The media is harsh. The media is mean. The media is manipulative. And my children don't need to be exposed to that. Today, they are here because this will be the last time that they see their father before he goes to prison. They need to be able to see him physically and smile at him, show them that they love him, show them that they care for him, and that they still support him 150%.
What were some of Jason's proudest moments in his personal life?
In his personal life, if I think I could speak for my husband and myself, our proudest moments, one of which is our wedding day. The next two would be the birth of our children. He was the first to hold them after they were born. They are his life. They are his everything besides me. His family means everything to him. The other proudest moments I would say, I know for myself and I could possibly say for Jason is the day he became a police officer. The day I watched him walk across that stage and get his star and go on to the job as a Chicago police officer was a very proud moment for both of us. He knew his calling, he knew he wanted to serve and protect, and that's what he did for a very long time. And that's what I still wish he would be able to do. Unfortunately, that will not happen ever again. He did have many opportunities. He did come up in the ranks in the police department. He was offered to be in specialized units that he was very proud of. He loved being in these special units and working with his fellow officers. He was also awarded the opportunity very select few Chicago officers were given the opportunity to go and be private security for Barack Obama's second inaugural parade for his security detail. My husband was selected for that. He went to Washington, D.C., and he held the line for President Barack Obama.
Was he on the sergeant's list?
Yes, he was. He took the sergeant's exam. He always wanted to excel. He always wanted to grow within the ranks. He knew what he wanted to do, and that was to make sure that he could serve and protect. And he loved his job. He loved his career. And he took every opportunity he could to advance.
Tiffany, what concerns you about the possibility of Jason going to prison today?
My biggest fear is that somebody will kill my husband for something he did as a police officer, something he was trained to do. There was no malice, no hatred on that night. It was simply a man doing his job. My other fear is that I'll never see him again. My children will never see him again. He won't see graduations, proms, weddings, grandkids. My youngest doesn't even have her driver's license. He teaches them those things. He won't have the opportunity to teach them. He won't have the opportunity to still shape their lives. I'm afraid every day, every single day, I go to bed praying that he is safe and praying that he will come home.
Anything else?
What do you have to say to the McDonald family?
I do have to say, we do pray every single day for your family. It was a tragedy. This was not something that was hateful. This was not something other than my husband doing his job, what he was trained to do. We pray every single day for this family, for my family, for your family, for everybody, for the entire city of Chicago to have peace. That's all we want. We want both sides to have peace.
And Tiffany, finally, do you have anything else you'd like to say to the court before your husband is sentenced?
I do. I would like to ask the court to please take into consideration that my husband is a man. He's a human being. He was a very good, dedicated officer. He's a very good, loving husband. A very good, loving father. He has paid the price. He has paid the ultimate price. He will no longer be a police officer. He will no longer be able to gain any form of employment that will be able to help support my family. His life is over. Please, please. He has paid the price already. My heart and soul are broken. They will not be mended until he comes home. My children will not rest and not be safe until he comes home. He has paid the ultimate price. I love my husband very much. That will never change. I just beg for the least amount of time, if not probation, for my husband. My husband does not deserve a lengthy time frame for doing his job as a police officer.
Thank you, Tiffany.
Thank you.
I don't have any more questions.
All right, who's your next witness?
We don't have any more witnesses.
Strong words from Tiffany Van Dyke, the wife of Jason Van Dyke, who you're seeing right now live sitting in a Chicago courtroom waiting to hear his sentence on second-degree murder and aggravated battery charges after the shooting of a teenager who was walking down the road carrying a knife. Van Dyke said that he swung the knife and that is why Van Dyke pulled the trigger, but there was some distance between the two. And, of course, added into this mix, the teenager had been acting aggressively, rather, towards some Chicago police officer earlier in the evening. Brian Buckmeyer, Ashley Wilcott, along with me here on The Debrief. Brian, let me start with you here. Is that testimony from Tiffany Van Dyke going to make a difference when the judge issues a sentence?
I would think very little, just in terms of how she came across. She did, as I don't think any other witness did, directly comment to the family of Laquan McDonald. Did say, my prayers are with you, I'm sorry, and I think that's the one good thing that came out of it. But the rest of it is, he's just doing his job, my heart breaks. I mean, her kids and her, she's gonna eventually see her husband. Laquan McDonald, their family doesn't have that.
Yeah, I mean, she did say towards the end there that my husband has paid the ultimate price for this. I mean, usually those are the sort of words we use if someone is indeed killed, for instance, in the line of duty. Ashley, is that the sort of language that prosecutors or critics are going to be able to lash into and say this is being blown out of proportion by her?
Absolutely, and I think even the judge is going to listen to that and think, what do you mean the ultimate price? He is alive. Laquan McDonald is not alive. That's going to be a distinction, I think, in the judge's mind. The other thing, Aaron, I'm glad she mentioned her children. I have a soft spot. My heart melts for her children. But that does not mean that he should not be held accountable, responsible for a crime he has already been convicted of that includes murder.
You're a juvenile court judge. If you were the judge in this case, what would your sentence be?
I will tell you what it would not be. It would not be probation, because I do not believe that that would be justice for this person who needs to serve time.
Brian, put your judge hat on now. What do you think?
It's a little difficult because I am a public defender, so I always believe in rehabilitation. So I'm looking at, if the top count is 30 on the aggravated, maybe 15 years, 20 years. I want him to see his children eventually, but he has to serve time.
I mean, look, there was a conviction, and that's not for the judge, that's not for the family of the defendant, that's for the jury to decide, and the jury decided that there was guilt on a number of counts here. So we're going to wrap things up here on The Debrief. Judge Wilcott, Brian Buckmeyer, appreciate your insights, as always, here on The Debrief.
Thanks, Aaron.
We are going to continue our live coverage of this sentencing hearing for Jason Van Dyke on the Law and Crime Network. If you're watching us elsewhere, we're going to sign off for The Debrief for the evening. Live trial coverage, of course, on the Law and Crime Network between at least 9 a.m. and at least 5:30 p.m. every night. I'll be back after this for many of you.